Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games. Brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
I'm Michael Gray. I'm the head writer of O-Rock, and currently am writing a project where people want to make out with Santa Claus.
Can't wait. But we're not there yet. I have some wonderful news for everyone listening to this. You might already know, but Internet Court is actually finally coming out. It's done. It's over. It's going to be on Steam like a week from now, I think. It's coming out on April the 6th. And to celebrate, we've got some very special guests on the podcast today. Two of the actors from Internet Court, Hugh Miller and Timothy Mark.
Hi, I'm Hugh. It just occurred to me that because my character says one line in the entire game, this it kind of defeats me being here. But I'm the head Hugh of O-Rock Studios. So nice to meet you guys.
I'll allow that. Okay.
And I'm Tim. I'm the head wort of O-Rock Studios, and I'm very happy to be here. It's surreal. It's kind of weird.
This is so many new employees than I was ready to deal with.
I'm on the payroll, right? Yeah.
You just as much as Hugh is. Absolutely. Yes.
Thanks for the blank check. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Oh, so I'm delighted that we're able to make this work. Everyone in here. Well, we're mostly in like absurdly different time zones. I really didn't think this was going to work. Tim, I'm pretty sure it's either yesterday or tomorrow where he is.
I'm in the future, yeah.
You're in the future. That's what I thought. Yeah. But this is fantastic. So, yeah, thank you, everyone. And I guess thank you, too, Michael. But, you know, you're always here. So so I was thinking we could start the podcast by talking a little bit about who our characters are in the game. Actually, all four of us do play roles in the game. Michael and I mostly because we work very, very cheap for ourselves. But I thought it'd be nice to just kind of give people a preview of the sort of characters that are going to be meeting in our new game. So, let's start with Hugh. You were talking a little bit in your intro. Hugh, are you playing?
How long was that on your mind for?
That's the entire reason I invited him.
This is like every day at school for me.
Anyways. It is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thanks, Paul, for that.
No problem.
I play Mr. OK, and Mr. OK also has another name, which I can't remember at the moment, but it's got fireworks in it. It's a bunch of emojis. I only speak in emojis. I got one spoken line, and I simply say okay. And I don't know which variation of okay that I sent Paul that he used. That's like terrible grammar, which is why I didn't get the job of the grammar police guy. But anyways, I've got one line. I hold up emojis that Paul sent me. I still have the emojis because it's like a relic of my history now. And
save those for the sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
That'll save us some money.
I play Mr. Okay, and I'm really stoked about it. It's because it's my first actual like visual appearance where I'm moving instead of just standing still in a video game. It's really cool, and I think I'm only there for like one case, right? Is that it?
Yeah, I believe so. You're in case number 3, I think. Yeah, the tattoo one.
Okay, yeah.
You're in case number 3, and your basic role to the story is to introduce a piece of evidence, but we had a really cool emoji puzzle from an earlier game that got canceled.
Oh, no.
So I just, like, kind of copy-pasted that into the script and made it fit.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. I like the name Mr. OK. It reminds me of sort of a middling Bond villain. Kind of like, sort of there. Or maybe it's like the modern Bond, like emojis only type deal. I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, your name is just like a series of random emojis. I think there's like firework, something, and then just like the symbol for OK. So like, all right, let's just make it easier.
I think like the poop symbol's in there somewhere, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it almost certainly is. I use the poop symbol whenever I can. So
that's the most important trick.
Yeah, it's the most important. Yeah. but that's me.
And Tim, who do you play in the game?
I'm Wirt Everly, which is the best name ever. And I... I'm a witness. It's been how long since I recorded? I think I'm a witness.
We don't talk about that.
Five years since I wrote the game.
Okay, all right.
No, it's more like four plus years. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Four plus. Yes, I'm what, Everly. I'm a witness in case four, I think. And what am I, a tech guy? Something like that. I really should have read up on my own history.
Yeah. That's a great question. You work for Welp, the online review website. I don't know if it's clear what your position actually is at Welp, but you work for them in some capacity, yeah.
Yeah, and I very much hate cherries, apparently, yes.
Yes.
Seems to be the line that's being thrown around everywhere.
Yeah, well, I was trying to find something I had tweeted earlier, and I saw that I had previously tweeted that you deserve an Oscar nomination for your just the way you deliver that line, "I hate cherries."
It's a good line. I like that. That was fun to deliver.
Ended up using it everywhere. It's in the trailer. There's a screenshot.
I know. Just...
Makes me laugh every single time. And Michael, we've probably talked about this podcast before, but can you briefly describe who your character is?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember. Is it Don't Stop Defending?
No,
it's Super Lawyer 64. I've got the t-shirt. Sorry, that was Diana's character.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I play Super Lawyer 64, who is sort of like the Phoenix Wright. So he's new to being a lawyer and very excited and has no idea what he's doing. But I think, am I the prosecutor? Or no, I was the defendant in case two.
Yeah, you are the defendant in case two. The other case is you are the prosecutor. Yeah, because Don't Stop Defending is the defense. Yeah.
Obviously, Don't Stop Defending. I don't remember what my character's name is. It's like Victor Berger.
It is
what my real name is in case two. Because I know because my daughter is Patty, so she's called Patty Berger. I love it.
Yeah, and I play the judge, Judge Doodles, who is a character that he doesn't really want to be an inner court. He sort of signed up to be a real life judge in a real courtroom, but basically they said he wasn't good enough, so now he's kind of stuck here, and he's at least at the start of the game just very like kind of lackadaisical about his responsibilities, just kind of like, yeah, whatever, strike, guilty, okay, yeah.
I love cool. How you play that. It's so fun.
Oh, thank
so
you. Good.
Yeah,
thank
just lying you. In his bed, he's like, oh, just yeah, whatever works, I guess.
It's like that joke still made so much more sense before everybody started going to Zoom for everything. And everybody's sleeping in their pajamas.
Do kind of wish I'd gotten this game out, you know, like a year and a half earlier, but what are you going to do? Can't have predicted the unpleasantness. So yeah, that's the game. It's as you could probably guess, it's a full motion video, live action courtroom drama. So when we say play, I mean we're literally like we're us, the humans are like on the screen in front of basically webcams, acting out these phony trials. And it's a lot of fun. So I wanted to talk to, just sort of about like the process of filming these characters, because I think everyone in the cast kind of came up with their own ideas just on like where and how and the equipment that they're using, which I think was perfect because I think it really adds a sense of realism to the game. I was just kind of curious about people's setups, if there were any particular challenges that they faced, if they did anything to get into character, anything along those lines. So Tim, tell us about what recording your role was like.
Yeah. Well, I auditioned for a couple roles. I think I also auditioned for the grammar police guy, but I didn't.
Everyone wanted to be the grammar police.
Yes, everyone wants to be it. But I really enjoyed what I remember. Paul, you liked it because I had a hood, like a hoodie on. Like
yes.
I had the hood over my face, which you really liked. So I think that may have got me the role. But
it was good, excellent costume choice. Yes.
Yeah. So I had a lot of books, you know, like encyclopedias and stuff, which I did not read to study. I just stacked them up to put my camera on. So that was a helpful thing because my tripod was too tall. So yes, finally put my textbooks to good use. So nice. That was all. I just set up my desk. The lighting was incredibly difficult You probably notice this when you're making it, but the like lighting changes subtly over the time, like while I'm on the throughout the case, like it will get darker. But hopefully that's just realistic, you know, so it should be fine.
I actually didn't notice, so yeah. It must not have been that bad.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not too bad. But yeah. I had to remove a bunch of like posters and stuff from my wall because you can't have any branded stuff in there, of course. But actually recording was really fun. It took me quite a long time. There's some technical problems, but it's so much fun playing around, because you allowed us to play around a little bit with the dialogue as long as you record one mm-hmm. clean take. I really enjoyed improvising and having a bit of fun with it. You've apparently put one of my warm-up things into the game, which would be interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was really funny. It's an unlock when you complete the whole game.
I love that. Yeah, in which I play Dogless Everly or something, so I've made up my own
spin-off
character. So, yeah, I'm a very big fan of the Everly family. But, yeah, it was really fun to do. It made me really into acting again. I actually ended up playing a lead role in a play after this because of the
acting
in the game. So that was really
amazing.
Fun.
Amazing.
Oh. The Crucible. Oh, I'm so happy. John Proctor. Yeah.
A much more serious role, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Very different role. Yeah.
Quite different. I wasn't raving about emus or cherries. Yeah, it's very good.
So were you using, like, you had your phones, or was it a laptop kind of stacked on top of your books there?
No, I had, like, an actual camera.
An actual camera? Wow.
Yeah. Very fancy, yeah. But it doesn't really come through because it was so dark. I didn't have much good lighting then, yeah. But, you know, it looks kind of shady. And
The way you describe your sort of faux tripod there with the books, it reminds me a lot of how I was doing Awkward Steve. Because my main camera person was a stool with an upside down bucket on top of it, and then like my phone propped up on a little like shoebox and I had that like I was dragging that all around my house. So I definitely get the pile of books.
Just praying there's no earthquake. Exactly. It's like, oh yeah.
Exactly.
I think that those sort of like janky setups are part of the charm when you're making it. Though I like it. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's good fun. So yeah, really enjoyed it.
So Hugh, what was your setup like? What was your recording experience?
Well, we can go all the way back here. I decided to just look up the old emails that we had.
Oh no.
Just to see when it started. Okay. I hadn't even graduated by the time
okay.
That's all.
Now he's going to go for it.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say. Anyways, I also auditioned for the Grammar Police guy. And so Paul must have hated it so much because he gave me a non-speaking role. So I... no.
That's not how I would put it.
No. I'm just messing around. Anyways.
I know.
No, it was... I auditioned for that role. And then in these emails, he said, you got the weird role. And then he just named it, and it was like firework, poop 100, and then the okay, like the little thumb. I don't know how to explain it, and you know. Anyways, I got that one, and so I recorded my bit, and then I also had to take down my Empire Strikes Back poster, and I was like, oh, that's unfortunate.
There were concerns. Yeah,
there were concerns, which is totally fair. And then. Yeah, and I just actually the laptop I'm using right now, because I don't want to haul my desktop across Vancouver. The laptop I'm using right now is the same one I recorded everything with for Internet Court, and it was just like the built-in webcam. I think I used my Blue Yeti to record the audio. Line I had. But
you did do as you did say you had a lot of takes of that one line. I should have. I should. I kind of tempted now. Maybe I want to go back and include that as an extra. Too.
Randomize which takes he has.
I did it in like different voices. I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's a whole bunch of different things, right? And
yeah.
Yeah,
I definitely picked one of the weird ones. If that helps. Yeah.
I'm so glad.
You do kind of like a falsetto, I think. It's good. So I was like, what does this person's voice normally sound like? It probably sounds like this one.
Yeah. Just something completely like from left field, yeah. But yeah, no, it wasn't anything special, just a regular laptop webcam. But yeah, and I think I'd record some of them a few times because like the paper would get stuck when I held it up and I wasn't happy with the way I held the paper and all that stuff. And I honestly, when I was trying to set it up, I'm like, do I hold the paper in front of my face or do I like beside my face or like in my chest or what do I do? And do I just let the paper fall? And then I was like, no, but there's going to be a sound when the paper falls. And it was like this whole thing going
on. It's surprising how much there is to like think about, even little details, even for one line. Yeah,
absolutely. No, there's like all these thoughts running through my head, but and so I got it done, and then because of the Empire Strikes Back poster, Paul just asked me to actually redo all of it. But that was not performance wise. That was simply because of the poster, and I was like, oh, I should have, because I'm usually on it with that, but I wasn't even thinking then. But
I did figure out how to blur stuff in a Vegas Movie Maker now. So if it happens again in the future,
perfect. Then we're set. Yeah,
they just have a giant blur. It'll look like you have like a pornographic poster hanging in your room.
I love it.
And Michael, was there anything special about how you recorded your parts?
I don't think so. It's the kitchen table. I basically just had the laptop on the kitchen table and I'm sitting up against the wall. And that's basically it. There were a couple of shots that were done with my phone where I'm sitting in different locations.
Right, yeah, because we have not testimonials, but like your intro and outro scenes, they're on the couch just to differentiate them from the rest of the game. That's right.
I don't know if this is a secret. I went back to the emails to check the original casting
emails. Oh, good. Okay.
And so with Hugh's role, I don't think Hugh would. Did you like audition for a couple of roles?
No, it was just the one.
We had you up in the air for a couple of roles because we weren't sure we were going to have enough people. At one point, we were thinking, it's like, okay, well, what if we make this character female or make this character male, and had to do juggling like that?
Oh, yeah, we definitely changed genders of a few characters. Like Tina Middleton, the lawyer in the second case, was at one point Tim Middleton, if I recall. We changed when we ended up bringing on Victoria to play that role.
Oh, right on.
She did such a good job. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You know Victoria, right, Q? So I think it was you and her were both competing for that same role.
Oh, my gosh.
/ Tina Middleton. And when she beat you for that, we're like, okay, he's either going to be Cormac or Mr. OK. And we went with Mr. OK.
Perfect. I love it.
Yeah. Cormac, we had a lot of trouble with because the person who originally signed up for it. I think I was emailing them for like a year, be like, so how's it going? And like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do it this weekend, don't worry. And then I check in 4 months later. It's like, oh, how's that recording going?
I remember you talking about the
that's right. We did talk, and then I eventually got our friend Christian Porter to step into the role. Anyway, with Judge Doodles, most of my scenes were recorded kind of lounging very luxuriously on my bed. So that was nice. I was under a blanket for several scenes, I believe, just kind of getting as cozy as I could. But yeah, very, very similar. I recorded on my phone, but I had it propped up on my laptop, too, so that my laptop would have the script on it. Because I have absolutely no ability to memorize lines whatsoever. So I would literally like rereading it, but I was looking at it in the same direction of the phone. So it looked reasonably okay. But I was really just looking directly at the script the entire time.
Brilliant.
Let's see. Yeah. What else do I have on my list? I thought this would be interesting. I was curious about what kind of acting experience everyone has coming into this. I know we learned that that Tim furthered his acting career after this. I'm interested in like what everyone was sort of doing before this. And I'll start this one because it's very short. I'm pretty sure the last time I did any acting besides Awkward Steve, which only barely counts, was in the sixth grade play. So
nice.
That's about it for me.
Were you living in the sixth grade play, or were you a tree or a bra?
No, I had a speaking role.
Oh, nice.
We did We did Cheaper by the Dozen, but not like the movie. It was like the play based on the original book. So it was set like in 1800s or something like that. The main highlight for that was that there was a role for a dog in the play, and we were going to have a toy, just like a little plastic dog, but like I had a real life dog. So my puppy Chance, who is in Cat President 2 also, got to be in the play.
That is the best thing ever.
Oh, that is awesome.
That was good. And he did not poop or pee on the stage, which, man, we were worried about. So yeah. That worked. Hugh, what was your acting experience going into Internet Court?
At the time, actually, we were working on our grade 12 musical that year, or I guess
grade 12.
I was in grade 12 at the time, and we were doing our musical. But it was funny, actually. It was, have you guys heard of Bring It On, like those old cheesy movies from like the 2000s or whatever?
They're so old.
It was the Bring It On musical, so we all had to become cheerleaders over the course of like 6 to 8 months, and so that was about it. I did the bit for Pizza Boy as well, where I played Mike, but that wasn't really acting.
Like
standing there like getting ready for the high five and then like being angry on my phone and all that stuff, yelling at Michael with like, why aren't you at work? Or why can I go home while you work or something like that? But that aside, no, I haven't really. Well, actually, I have done some acting when I was a kid, and that was like for short films that my dad did. But we, thank God, this is a podcast, because I would probably, yeah, I don't want them visually shown.
Wait, are these on YouTube?
There is a very low chance that you will find them.
I'm going to find it right now.
You will not, don't you dare.
Pull that money and hire a PI.
If you do find them, I need to know, and I need to know that they're the right ones. Actually, you would know right away.
What about Michael? I remember, speaking of YouTube, I don't know if this is still on YouTube, but I vividly recall when you were in college.
Oh, I hit it. It's private.
Yeah,
it's
hidden
it's
now.
Private
yeah.
now. Still there on were... YouTube, I can make it.
But it was like sort of like a sitcom or something, right? Like,
oh my gosh, yes! I watched a few of those when I was younger
for the online TV. For the college TV show. So I remember, I was with the college TV show, and that sort of like was my falling out because they didn't want to do the sitcom. So I did like an episode and a half. That was all I could do without them. And the guy who was in charge of it, his name is Michael Schroeder. So he's got a YouTube channel called like The Warp Zone, or something like that. And they've got something like 0.5 million subscribers or something. So they ended up being way more popular than me. I probably shouldn't have gotten mad and quit. Otherwise, I could be the famous guy now.
Well, you should unhide the YouTube videos and make sure like his name is tagged all over it and get some ad revenue out of it.
I don't think he's in any of the videos. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because like I said, that was what we had the falling out. It's like two or so videos I did with him though for the college. Nope, three. They did a late night talk show. They did a script that I wrote, which was like a silly historical script. And then there's one where it's like a play-by-play. I play an announcer named Bob with another announcer named Bob. And we're doing a play-by-play of this one guy who's trying to ask a girl out on a date. And we just like make fun of it. It's like, oh, he fumbled on that line. She's never going to like him now. And then for some reason, I had to like put on a dress. It was weird.
Oh my gosh.
So I kind of now would like to also put some of these as extras in Internet Court, if that's okay.
good luck finding it.
I'll put my Cheaper by the Dozen play on there. It'll be fine. We'll get Hugh's musical. Oh, that sounds great. Tim, what about you? What was your experience in acting? It sounded like you might have done some before. Is that correct?
Yeah, I did. When I was a kid, I did a lot of... was in a few one-act play festivals with a local theater we had, like right up the road from me. So I did a lot of that. Did I win anything? I think I won one award once for that, which was pretty cool. Totally bragging for my, like, 10-year-old self. I don't even remember the plays. I was in all, like, at our school, we had two plays. We had one in year 5, I think, and one in year 9. And I was in both of them as pretty big roles. One of them was Hansel. That was in year 9, from Hansel and Gretel. And the other one, I don't know who I was, but I still remember one of my lines from that, and it was incredibly complicated. This is like when I was 11 years old or something. I still remember that line, and it's kind of a party trick that I pull out sometimes. I can remember this overly complicated line, which the joke was that it was complicated. Yeah, so that's something. So I've had quite a few acting experiences. I think most of my experience previously came from the festivals, because that was like, there was audience of strangers type deal, and it wasn't just families and parents. Yeah. And which is scary, but I think that helped me get over like stage fright. Good.
Yeah. I didn't know we had like a classically trained stage actor in this game. That's awesome.
I was definitely putting classically trained professional stage actor on my Twitter
page. I'm going to have to just make a quick update to the Steam page.
Yeah, exactly.
Classically. Yeah. Anyway, I'm particularly impressed by your memorization of lines. Like I said, I did not have a great time attempting to do that. In fact, what was it in case number 2 where you guys haven't actually played the game, right? I know, Tim, you played case number 1. You were testing it.
I don't remember it because I try and block it out. I just try and like focus on the technical side usually. Yeah.
And Hugh, I haven't given it to you at all to play yet, right?
No, I've just seen the trailer like a billion times. That's about it.
So case number 2 is probably screenshots or clips of it. I'm wearing this like big $5 VR headset for the entire case. That one was really tough for me because there were some parts where I'd have like a paragraph of lines and I would get like the first like 2 words and I'd be like, what was it again?
Sure, that was the main character of that case.
Yeah, that was rough. That was perhaps a bad wardrobe decision on my part.
It seems like the easiest thing. Couldn't you just like put like a Word doc on the screen in the VR?
I was just going to say that.
Well, there was no screen. There was no screen in the VR headset.
Wait.
You literally blindfold yourself.
Yeah, it was. I got literally at Five Below, a store here that's $5.
That's amazing.
Is it like those Roombas that have a vacuum that it costs like $5 that just roll around the room?
Yeah, that's pretty much, that's the quality we're looking at here. There's an outtake where there's a shot where I have to kind of like hit it because I'm pretending it's not working. And like the front of the case just opens up and you can see that there's nothing there. It's just the door like hinge almost snaps off. But I wanted to say too on memorization, I have vivid, horrible memories from sixth grade. Me and my friend Matt Gardner, who people from GameCole will probably remember. We were partners for this presentation where we each had to read like half of a poem, basically. And Matt got through his half completely flawlessly, nailed it. Sounded like a Timothy Mark-esque, classically chained actor. And then we got to my half, and I'm just kind of like standing there, staring at the audience, not saying anything. And then I just kind of lean forward and say, "Oh crap!" completely. And Matt is like sitting there, like nudging me, like whispering the lines to my half of the poem in my ear, because of course he had memorized the entire thing, and I'm just like, "Oh crap!" So that was that. That's why I don't act anymore. Actually, it was
good. No. That's awesome.
Let's see.
It's funny because my wife does the same thing. She has like 2 or 3 sentences. And she had the hardest time remembering it. She's like, "These are really terribly written." I'm like, "You know, I wrote them, right?" It's like, nobody would ever talk like this in real life. Like, oh. But it worked out well because her character is supposed to be really mad in that scene. And so that really just translated to her. So she was actually really mad about having to memorize the line and having to like record this in the first place. So I don't think people will. That's why she's mad. They're just like, "Oh wow, she's a great actress."
It's like Kubrick like terrorizing his actors or something. You're like completely evil scriptwriter.
Yeah, That, and that was the shot that we had to redo. That was like a couple of months ago that we did that. I'm sure we talked about that on the podcast, how we suddenly realized we were missing some footage. So Michael's
wife stepped in. Have you been in perpetual terror for like 5 years because you're worried that someone's missed a line or something?
Yes. Well, it's come up multiple times. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was the Michael's line. There were a couple parts where like one of us would just say like a word wrong. And like your mom, Michael, we had to go back and get her to re-record like one line so I could try to splice it in.
Cat or Snookums. Yeah, like she mixed up the two cat names.
It wasn't her, it was us. We wrote it wrong in the script.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I found like at the last minute that I messed up the I Like Cats username. So I also wanted to talk to both you about like how you even got involved in doing projects for O-Rock Studios, because I mean I've been interacting with both of you for a little while now. Hugh, I know I was checking through my notes, and I remember that you had helped us with testing Francie Drew 2 back in the day.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't remember either.
Holy cow, I totally forgot about that.
And of course, as you brought up earlier, you were you were the model. You played Mike in The Pizza Boy, where you got the opportunity to scream at Michael, which a lot of people really enjoy getting the chance to do that in our games for some reason. Like, Diane has gotten to do that a few times, and it's like always her favorite part. But anyway, how did you come across us? Like, I'm always curious about this because I don't know where people find our stuff.
Yeah,
so,
how
did you get here?
Well, I mean, as many people, I was a huge fan of Michael's videos, all his Nancy Drew stuff when I was younger. Oh. Still am. And I think he came out with some like puppy tax game in like 2011
yes.
or 2012.
Yes.
What?
And I kid you not, I was like 10, 11, 12 at the time. And I'm like, I'm going to play this game. And so I didn't know how zip files worked back then. And so I'm like trying to figure it out on like this Windows Vista laptop. It wasn't working.
Oh
anyways,
gosh.
Long story short, I think a few years later, I was like, I'm going to try and play that game again. And I just looked up like Arglefumpf video game or something in Google. And then I think it was through that I found the podcast. And then I think like Michael posted on Facebook about something about Francie Drew, or he made a YouTube video on it. That part's a bit blurry, but I do remember reaching out to someone saying, yeah, if you guys need help testing, that'd be awesome. I'd love to do that. And then just sort of went off from there.
Yeah, I think you also might have been the only tester on Francie Drew, too. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back.
I think there was someone
check.
Else. I think there was someone
was
else,
there?
Too.
Was there? Okay. Because I think we were testing that like right before the Steam release, and I know... at the time we were doing the Steam release, I think I assigned like one person per game at that point, like for Who Am I and the soap opera game. So I might have to go back and check. Oh. Deeply, yeah. Deeply upsetting that you played Michael's first game when you were 10. But
okay, I'm so sorry.
The best part is that it's a game about American taxes, and I'm in Canada, a 10-year-old Canadian child is trying to play a game about American taxes. Like, I don't know what else to say. It's brilliant. Yeah.
I don't know if you played this part of Cat President 2, but Barky Budget does make an appearance in Cat President 2 in one of the pathways.
Oh my god, I haven't got there yet. No.
I don't remember which one, but yeah, you definitely go to him for accounting advice or something.
Oh, I'm going to keep an eye out for that. Yes. That's amazing. Yeah, Barky Budget, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, Barky Budget, bug auditor for basic tax law.
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, amazing geez. And deeply, deeply upsetting. So Tim, how about you? Where did you come through in all this? Again, I believe you were a tester on a few of our games, recently Cat President 2, and like I said, you helped out with when we were doing like the initial testing rounds of Internet Court. So how did you end up in this sphere?
Let's see. It was almost definitely through Michael again, mm-hmm. which I think lots of, there's a big crossover between Michael fans and O-Rock fans, I think.
Yeah, there are very few Paul fans out there. I'm okay.
I'm a Paul fan. Paul.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I appreciate
this. I was the Her Interactive forums were like the first forums I was on. I think as a
oh yeah, kid. Way back in the day.
So I just did that forever, and I think I found like people talked about Argophon, so I found him through that. Watched tons and tons of his videos. My favorite video on his channel, on your channel, Michael, is probably the Goths at Disney World or something like that. It's really, really old. But I actually love that.
What?
That was, oh gosh, I forgot. You're
dry. What? I'm going to look this up. Oh my gosh. That was
also something for the college TV.
Don't delete that, please. It's so good.
Back when I was in college, I'll see if I could find
it. It's kind of like dry humor. It's just
Disneyland 2007. That's the name of it. Published September 25th, 2007.
Oh my gosh.
Definitely watching that tonight.
Wait a minute.
I just added that to my watch later. That's amazing.
you guys, you better act soon because he's definitely taking that down as soon as we're done recording.
I've got a YouTube download.
Gosh,
I'll
there's
just
a comment here saying how studly you are, Michael. Wow.
Oh, wow.
First frame is just, that's awesome. Michael in a goofy shirt.
It's so, I'm checking because apparently that video was uploaded the first day I joined YouTube.
Oh my gosh.
September 25th, 2007. Yeah, I joined YouTube that day. I made my account and uploaded a Disneyland, Goths at Disneyland video.
And I can see, at least in the initial picture here, there's another star of Internet Court right here in this image. Your mom.
Oh my gosh.
That is awesome.
Derailed everything, but there you go.
Oh, it's just a slideshow. It's barely even a video.
Your voiceover makes it perfect. It's just this, like, it's not even called Goths.
Thumbs up.
It's just your slow, like, realization that this place is, like, inhabited by the Goths today. It's very good. anyway. Where was that?
Oh, my word. You were talking about your favorite videos, yeah.
Yeah. So that's my favorite. But, anyway, I watched, probably watched most of that stuff. And then I probably found, maybe it was Pizza Delivery Boy. I think that was posted as a, you wanted testers or something. And I think maybe I retweeted it or something like that. I was like, oh, okay, yes. Because I've done some testing before that. I did testing on Day of the Tentacle for the remaster, and I did a bunch of, I've been involved with Double
Did?
For no a way.
I went. Did I ever tell you I went on a camp, like a Psychonauts camp with Double Fine once? I never mentioned that.
Why are we talking about anything else? No. Okay, we have like 13 minutes of recording time, and we're devoting it entirely to this story. Now.
Do you want me to tell that story? I can. It's.
As much as you're allowed to. I don't know if you're under an NDA for your camping trip, but okay, perfect.
Yeah. All right, very quickly. So in 2014, I became a moderator on their forums, Double Fine's forums. And I did that for a while. And I still do that, but not on the forums, on the Discord now, because forums are dead. And Psychonauts 2's FIG campaign, like their crowdfunding campaign, the top, how you can donate an amount of money, whatever. The top reward was if you donate $10,000, which, of course, I do not have, you could go on a Psychonauts-themed summer camp with the entire company. And it was,
oh my god,
yeah. So I did not pay that amount of money, but because I was a moderator, they incredibly kindly gave me a like ticket to go to that, and it was the best thing ever. You can find me on their YouTube channel. Two Play Productions had I'm in one of their little documentary clips about the camp. I'll find it and post it somewhere, but was.
Please do.
One of the coolest things ever. It's the first time I'd ever left Australia. I went to that was in San Francisco. We went in the Redwood Forests.
Nice.
And it was the best thing ever. It was just a weekend, but I want to go back to that weekend over and over. Yeah. I'm quite good friends with those guys.
I'm absolutely delighted by all of that.
So So that's a fun thing. Anyway, all right. Was I telling? I'm so lost.
You tested Pizza Boy, I had forgotten about that. I guess I didn't search enough through my inbox when I was trying to figure out where.
I exhaustively tested that game as much as I could. Still missed some typos, but I did my best.
We always do.
But that's my favorite, along with Awkward Steve. That's my favorite Rock game still. I really like it.
Thank you.
It's very, very.
Oh wow! These are very long notes. Sorry, I found your email.
Oh, yes.
Awful things we messed up. Yeah, no.
I think I complained about your use of the term video game at some point.
Oh yeah, there it is. I must insist that video game is two words. I think I did not change that too.
Oh dear! Oh no! You said you'd die on that hill. I remember that very vividly. Going into my mind.
Oh my gosh, I hate that people remember things that I say. Very upsetting.
Tattooed onto my brain, okay? All right. Oh. So that's where I got in, and I've been testing things on and off since. I'm in the, what's the game? Internet Court. Yeah. So that's probably the coolest thing I've done with you guys. Yeah. I really like that you have so much community interaction. I know it's probably easier on a smaller sort of scale, but I really, really.
Well,
like
we have six fans. It's much easier. Yeah.
No, but I've always been interested in community interactions. That's why I like Double Fine so much, because they had such a good community presence, and I like that you guys do that as well. I like that a lot. So that's why I'm sticking
around.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate. Yeah, I try to be good about responding when people reach out. I'm just not like that great at establishing the community to begin with. Like if someone like messages me or I see them talking on Twitter or no one has ever talked on the Discord. But if they did, I would be like, hey, what's up? But,
I think people would like it if they like found the games more. Like I think I don't know. I think Pizza Delivery Boy would stream.
That's always
well.
The hard part.
So with the streaming game, what's that game called?
Who am I? The Let's Play Disaster.
Yeah.
Yes.
We've gotten a few very negative comments about that on the Itch page recently. It's very upsetting. Yeah. What are you gonna do? Yeah, it's funny. We released everything in the Francie Drew and Friends individually on Itch.io, and I think like Trapped in a Soap Opera, I think it has zero purchases by itself so far.
No.
Who am I has a few, but yeah.
I must remedy anyway. This.
Say, I live streamed that game.
You're the streamer in the game though, right?
Yeah, I'm the streamer in the game. So I streamed the game where I'm a streamer. It was great.
That's too much. Yeah, that's right. We made two different modes in that game too, right? Didn't we make one where the Let's Player is disabled so that you can like pretend to be the Let's Player yourself or something like that.
Oh my
Forgot
gosh.
About that. That's a weird one.
Creatively like ridiculous some of your ideas are. They seem to work. It's really good. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. And Tim specifically, I wanted to mention since I was looking up all this stuff, your feedback on case number one in Inner Court was apparently very, very useful because I used a lot of the stuff that you mentioned.
Oh, very
like how the avatars display on the left side of the screen. I just like, yeah, and how I needed to make it so that people couldn't, like, I needed to make it harder to accidentally skip a scene when people click.
Yes.
That's why I have it. There's just a big skip button now, and now you can't click anywhere. You have to click on the button if you want to skip.
Yeah, I kept skipping things.
Makes everything
I think the big one was those things on the side. You had something clever where you're sort of rearranging the tiles, but
trying to be cool. Yeah. Oh, I had them all arranged alphabetically by username, and then when when a person was talking, their image would appear in the big part, the video would appear, and then their avatar would disappear from the left, so that like it kind of looked like everything was just sort of rearranging, but it just looked like nonsense. You couldn't really tell what I was going for there. So now it's static and it works a lot better.
I think it would have worked if it was like sliding around like animation, but it's probably really hard. So
yeah,
I would
never know how to do
it. It looks pretty difficult.
Yeah, none of us know how to code. Come on. Yes. We have no idea what we're
pretend
doing.
You do, okay?
You have no one listening to this has any illusions that we know what we're doing. I think we've made that very, very clear over the last however many years it's been. over the last 50 episodes. That's right.
Yeah.
let's see. We're getting to the end here, so I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the other good stuff that you guys both do on the internet. So Tim, you had already talked about how you've done moderating work for Double Fine. Yeah, that's just awesome. I just wanted to say again how awesome that is. I don't really have any questions about
so
it.
Good. I need to appreciate it.
Other than I'm deeply, deeply jealous. The only interaction I've ever had with Double Fine is that Tim Schafer yelled at me an email one time. that's all I got.
I've hugged Tim Schafer. How's that?
Wait, what?
he gave me a nice hug. He's a good hugger. World exclusive. There you go.
That's amazing.
Gosh, the places I did not expect this podcast to go. Tim Schafer's as a hugger. But I also wanted to say, Tim, you have another podcast. Is that correct?
I do. So, all right. Very brief backstory to this. I'm also a moderator for IO Interactive, who make Hitman, the game series.
You really?
Yeah. I work directly with them through that. I also run the subreddit. I'm the head moderator there.
Oh my gosh.
You're a fan of Hitman. Okay.
I love Hitman, dude. Holy cow.
All right. Well, you like what I'm about to say. I have.
Go on.
I do that. I think, Paul, you might also like, you'd probably get into it because it's kind of like an adventure game, but with slightly more violence. I think you'd appreciate some of the
games. I've never played any of them.
Yeah. One day, try them out. One day. So, I run a Hitman podcast about the community. We started recently with someone in Tasmania. And it's doing quite well. Have about, I don't know, average 800 views. I think the best one got 2,000 views.
Oh, wow.
Pretty decent.
Holy cow.
So it's called Hitman Hideout. It's on the channel All Things Hitman. So, it's going really well. Just released an episode yesterday. So Hitman Hideout. If any, I guess we have one Hitman fan in chat, but if there's anyone else that's listening to this and somehow likes Hitman, like a visual novel and Hitman... community crossover isn't large, you know.
Well, as soon as they make the Hitman visual novel, the movie will be all over.
Yeah.
Also, if you're looking for a company to do the Hitman visual novel, I promise I will play the game before making the visual novel, if that helps. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hugh, I didn't actually know about this until I think like yesterday. It sounds like you also have a podcast. Is that correct?
I do. We actually just recorded an episode like 2 days ago, and that it's like All Things Nancy Drew. It's myself, my friend Eli, and then who actually I think, I don't know if you guys know of him, Yandema211 on Twitch. She does a bunch of speedrunning and whatnot. And then Victoria. And we just did an episode of that the other night, which went really well, and that should come out Tuesday, hopefully.
Hey, you'll probably beat us.
Yeah. What's the podcast called?
Well, it's just called NDW Podcast. Right. Nothing too
definitely listen to that
special. Awesome. Right on, man. Yeah, no, it's and I do that for my YouTube channel, which is just Nancy Drew walkthroughs, which was again heavily inspired by Michael because I was a big fan when I was younger. Still, am a big fan. But
I can't believe we're advertising the competition now. Oh, dude, up. I'm sorry, Michael. I'm going to delete all of this. Don't worry. This is unreasonable.
How dare you compete with videos I made 10, 15? Oh gosh, 15 years ago.
No, dude.
No. If I had a time machine, I'd be offended, I guess. I don't know.
No, sorry. What's your YouTube channel? Where can we find that?
Yeah, that is just it's called Nancy Drew Walkthroughs, and it's
awesome.
The idea was just to be plain and simple, and that's just what it is. And with a few extras here and there, I have a lot of fun doing it. I don't have a lot of time to do it as much time as I used to, but I do enjoy doing it whenever I get the chance.
I love your vlog series. I just wish there was like more of them that could be vlogged about.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, we talked about this on the podcast. We're just waiting for something. But the fact that Her Interactive has updated their website and they clearly have staff that are running social media, like they have some source of income. And
they have a stop at least.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
At least one person.
Yeah, no, I'm actually running a bit of a... I don't know what the word would be. What do you do when you do a bunch of tests and you're like doing research on something? A study. I'm doing a study on how many copies of Midnight in Salem, how many physical copies are selling per month. And I'm going to try and do a video about that in about a month or two and see how things are looking there. But yeah.
So I take it by all of this, we do not know anything about a new Nancy Drew game after Midnight in Salem.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Zero.
Hopefully by the end of the year, but I'm not holding out much hope.
Yeah. I mean, the only time I ever get updates is when I ask Michael about it on here, so I don't know anything.
Maybe some... They have like a canned response for when somebody asks about if they're doing another game. It's something like, we're hard at work, and we hope to announce something in the future.
Yeah, and it changes like minimally every time. It, like, I've seen it where it's like, we have a game in the works, or we're still planning a game, or we're planning on releasing another game. It just... It's so vague.
Probably a Twitter bot or something. Just like has 10 responses.
Exactly. I know. I blame. No, I'm not going to say that because that's mean. I'll say it off air. I've said a lot of bad things on my YouTube channel that I don't want to keep saying. So.
Look, do not bring your Nancy Drew drama onto my podcast, please.
This is now Nancy Drew Drama Podcast. Step aside, Paul.
Yeah, that's the new spinoff that I think everyone but me, who's in this episode, is going to start soon.
You can start with Michael the Tax Podcast. That'd be really good.
Yeah, that'll be great.
All right, I think we're starting to wrap up. Was there anything else that that either of you would like to plug that I didn't mention or anything else?
Nothing like comes to mind. I mean, Internet Court, but I mean, we've already been doing that all show long. So
no, please plug Internet Court again.
Internet Court comes out on April 6th, 2021, and it's been like long time in the making. And I'm just so stoked about it. I am genuinely excited.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
I'm always excited when an O-Rock game comes out. I just get excited. I'm like, oh man, I love seeing Paul's updates on Twitter. Where it's just like. I love my favorite ones are the game dev search of the day, and it's like the most ridiculous thing. Like those things always put a smile on my face. I love
it. Thank you. Yes, thank you very much. I'm glad somebody's amused.
That could become a little like book if you want to print a book one day. Your game dev.
Yeah, it's just called game dev for Paul's game dev search of the days, and it's just like every little phrase or word.
Yeah. Well, maybe like illustrate. Get someone to illustrate each one too. That would be nice. Yeah, I guarantee you, if I just went back like a week, I would not even remember why I was searching half of those things. Because half the time, it's like for a puzzle that I don't end up using, or like a game idea that ends up going nowhere.
But it's like it's clearly significant enough for you to be like, I'm gonna spend the energy just to tweet this search.
Yes,
that I need. Like that's what I love about it.
Yes.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. All right. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow all of us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen. Michael is at Argelfump. Hugh is at the_Hugh Miller. And that's Hugh spelled H-U-W.
Nailed it. And, oh, my God. Thank you.
Oh, well, I did write it down. It's three letters, hard to remember them all. I told you I'm really bad at that.
Just say spelled exactly as it sounds. There we go. Works for two.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just going to say, Tim is at Bidiot Bales, which is spelled exactly as it sounds. But in case anyone is having trouble with that, it's BIDIOTBALES. I think I got that. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how to spell Michael's name. I'm sorry. That one sounds exactly as it's spelled. Wait, no.
But there's the P though. Like it could be like F U M F.
P or Q. We need to go back in time. Like when I build my time machine, I'll yell at myself to get a real name for my channel. But I thought it was just going to be a random channel nobody'd watch. I'll just upload weird goth Disney. Yeah.
Just had to change direction, but you know, can't help it.
Just a minor change, and yeah.
Let's see. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. Internet Court, the game we've been talking about. Today and for the last, you know, years, some number of years, comes out on April 6th on Steam and itch.io. Everyone, please wishlist it, buy it. You are going to love it. I hope that's sort of the plan. and finally, if you have any questions about game development or our game specifically, we would love to hear them. Email them to podcast@ourrock.com. Is there anything that anyone would like to add at this point?
I hate cherries!
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. Oh, goodbye, everyone. You guys can say bye too if you want.
Oh, yes, bye, bye, bye. Story will be told. Go!
I was clarify what I said at the start.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify what I said at the start about the Santa Claus game, because Paul sent me the next draft of the game.
Yes.
And I know you made a bunch of changes to it, so what I'm doing is I'm looking for the changes you make and just making them even more ridiculous.
Yes, good.
So that's great.
Perfect.
Like, you had a joke, you're like, this is a terrible joke and should be cut, so I just... responded with an even worse joke. So we'll see how this works.
Yeah, this is how the writing process works at Ourrock. Just sending scripts back and forth and making things dumber and weirder.
It sounds wonderful. I love it.